Packard, are you still hooked up that you can project to the screen?
Yes.
Can you put on the screen section 13304? And then while we're waiting for him to do that, the next speakers will be Shauna Sullivan. This one is out or not? Yeah, is Randy Tillotson here? Okay, did you want to speak on this agenda item? Okay, then you would be next after Ms. Sullivan, and then Mr. Burrow, and then Mrs. Taylor. So hold on 1 second. And the statutes do not refer to these enforcement remedies being initially limited to corporations or non-persons. And although this gets repeated all the time, the statute's very clear that it refers to any person who has discharged or discharges waste into the waters of the state. So perhaps it has not been used in this region or in other regions against individuals. If that's the perception you have, it's not based on what the law is, and that's just unfortunate. But it's not true that this is a remedy meant just for corporations, and that's why the statute has built into it discretion by the board to not impose any penalty or to adjust the penalty downward from the maximum. Anyway, Ms. Sullivan.
Good afternoon. My name is Shauna Sullivan. I'm a resident of Los Osos within the Prohibition Zone, and I also am speaking on behalf of Pizzle Diff, Citizens for Clean Water, and also Mr. Wilkerson and Mrs. Wilkerson. I'd like to make my comments, and then I'd like the board to put up on the wall the rest of the water code provisions that are applicable, if you will, because I'd like to point out and respond to your question earlier, Mr. Young, pertaining to what would require vacating of the residences. But I'd like to do my presentation first, and then if we can...
Well, you have 3 minutes.
Okay,
you
but
now
I think...
Two minutes and 20 seconds to complete.
I just really dislike misstatements, too. So I just want to make sure that people know what the code provisions are that will apply to them. So first, I would like to object to the composition of this board on this agenda item, as it does not include our local representatives. And then I would like to include in the record the list of 111 reasons why this board should not continue enforcement actions and should not order cessation of septic tank use by 2011. I have made copies available at the back of the room. I've submitted to the board my comments. Those are made on behalf of the Pizzle Diff Group and on behalf of the CSD, and also on behalf of myself. Jumping to Mr. Wilkerson's comments pertaining to him. On his behalf, I request that the RWQCB meet its burden to render all possible assistance to all CDO recipients as mandated by the Water Code, Section 13301.1. And I know Mr. Allaby recited that to you earlier, but I'll just hit a portion of it, which is that if a person has a cease and desist order, you have to provide all possible assistance in making available current information on successful and economical water quality control programs and information and assistance in applying for grants. On behalf of the rest of us who do not yet have a CDO, I request this board comply with the legislature's stated intention set forth in Water Code Section 13291.5, which states it is the intent of the legislature to assist private property owners with existing systems who incur costs as a result of the implementation of the regulations by encouraging the state board to make loans to local agencies to assist private property owners whose costs of compliance with these regulations exceeds a certain percent, which this does. Please tell us what would be acceptable for each of us as individuals to meet your mandates without moving from our homes. Matt Thompson has repeatedly stated there are lots of things we can do to comply, but he can't seem to name one. We get the usual mantra that 13360 prohibits the board from advising us how to comply. Now I think the CDO recipients can demand all possible assistance to meet your mandates. Not only does this CDO recipient demand it, but the legislature requires you to provide that information. You need to help us, not prosecute us. Now back to my comment.
Your time is up. Okay. Everyone has 3 minutes. Even
I'm here
three minutes?
Three different. I mean, I'm here for myself. I'm here for Mr. Wilkerson.
They can get a speaker card and come up, but this is the way that we handle this. I'm not making exceptions.
Okay, I have to put on the record that I want a formal procedure pursuant to Code Regulation 648.7.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Tillotson?
Tillotson, yes.
Okay.
I'm not going to get into any of the details about what's been going on throughout the history. I mean, you've heard the whole history of the situation that's been going on in Los Osos for 30 years. But in my case, I was never told that there was a prohibition in 1988. I knew nothing about that. And on the street that I live on, I'm in probably the oldest house on the street. And the minute the county allowed the next house over to be built next to me, they already broke their own bylaws. They allowed more than one house on an acre. They immediately broke the law right there. Their own rules. So you know, what am I supposed to do about that? I can't do anything about that. And as previously mentioned, there's no on-site individual system that the county's approved. Yet we're told that, you know, we've got, you tell us that we're supposed to be able to, find a solution. Well, there is no solution. And then you mentioned in your presentation of fines. You say, well, and you showed in the law that financial considerations of the individual would be taken into consideration. That's what we were doing. We were taking the financial considerations of what I called Hitler's bunker, that big old septic tank system that was going to be built in town that was probably going to cost us at the minimum $300 a month at the bare minimum, and that's going to be like $3,600 a year on top of our taxes. Who in the hell can afford that? And then I walk my dog every day by the building where we have the CSD meetings. There's people over there getting food every Wednesday from the food bank. There's poor people in that town. Even if you gave them a $5 a day fine, they probably would have to move. And let's see here. So the way I look at what this board has been doing and what's been going on against this town, it's like terrorism. Now, I read last year The Great Terror by Robert Conquest about Stalin's Great Terror in the Soviet Union, and I also read a fictional account by a guy named Arthur Kessler called Darkness at Noon, where he was in a prison and he ended up getting shot at noon in the back of the head. And when I looked it up in my dictionary today, I looked up terrorism, and it says, the act of terrorizing, use of force or threats to demoralize, intimidate, subjugate, especially such as a political weapon or policy. That's definition one. Definition two, the demoralization and intimidation produced by this way. And I don't think anybody that's from that town wouldn't think, everybody in that town thinks that you're terrorizing us. And you can think that you're not. You're just trying to do your job. I'd say you're terrorizing us. And your appointments from the state and the governor appointed you, and that means the governor is terrorizing our community.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Tillotson. Mr. Barrow.
Good afternoon. Thank you, everyone, for listening to my comments. They're written comments that I worked out with Steve Page. I would like to raise the board's awareness of a $2 billion class action personal injury lawsuit for proximate and gross negligence. It will be filed against the Regional Water Quality Control Board 3 and the county if the Water Board continues with the CAO process against the 1,100 homeowners whose homes were allowed to be built after 8313 under your prohibition, and other owners in the prohibition zone. The 1,100 homeowners here were injured by collaborative negligence between the county and the water board when they allowed the 1,100 homes to be built in Los Osos between 83 and 98. And I have a letter here that says, states it was for economic reasons so that we could build a sewer if you had more people. This was verified by the letter to our director, Steve Sennett. The letter suggests the act of constructive fraud. Both parties were aware at the time that the alleged nitrogen pollution problem in the groundwater basin. So in defiance of the basin and that evidence, both parties created 1,100 further residential units of pollution, alleged pollution, and water use. That caused 400 acre feet of overdraft of our basin and saltwater intrusion, which we're having to deal with at present. From the property owner's standpoint, they would never have built or bought one of those 1,100 illicit homes if the prohibition zone were prohibited from being built by 8313 as required. The homeowners were baited by both parties into the present situation with their properties. The county understands the magnitude of this problem because they have included in their new deed restrictions for new construction in Los Osos an indemnification clause for proximate and passive negligence. The county's working with the aggrieved homeowners to solve the problem and make up for this past injustice. The aggrieved homeowners make the following claims that affect their personal injury. The water board and the county knew or neglected the fact that they violated the Clean Water Act when they permitted the 1,100 homes to be built for economic reasons when the alleged scientific data alerted them to the fact. The water board and the county neglected their duties to protect the groundwater supply by letting the 1,100 homes be built and thus causing 20% more nitrogen pollution in the basin and causing 160,000 acre feet of freshwater overdraft, harming the vacant property owners.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant.
I would like to say that the 3 minutes by Mr. Taylor has been donated so I can finish my presentation.
That's not going to happen.
Well, then he will have to read this.
Okay, and then that'll be his 3 minutes.
Starting with the aggrieved.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
George Taylor, Los Osos. If the 1,100 homes were never allowed, these impacts would never have been created. The aggrieved homeowners have the following five causes for action, and I will only read the first one. Outright purchase of 1,100 homes and the general coastal market value not depressed. Los Osos values and relocation expenses to aggrieved homeowners. 2, reimbursement of all sewer-related expenses since the time of construction of the individual homes, $39 million. Purchase of all vacant lots, market value because aggrieving the overdraft of fresh water in the basin for over 20 years unless certified unbuildable. 4, payment of cleanup and alleged nitrogen pollution from 1,100 homes for 20 years and as an offset to damage to the existing rights to discharge. 5, payment for the 400 acre feet per year of basin overdraft. Simply put, the Regional Water Quality Control Board was responsible for the creation of the alleged pollution. They are now forcing us to clean up, potentially fining us for and taking our right to discharge away. It is time for the Water Board to join the county and homeowners and become part of the solution by standing down. Only that action will avoid our class action lawsuit. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Mrs. Taylor? Mrs. Taylor, and then Ann Normant and Lawson Schaller.
Good afternoon. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos since 1972. Having attended numerous water board meetings, I will say that there have been Mr. Ken Jones, Mr. William Leonard, and Mr. Roger Briggs as executive directors. When 8313 was in place, it was a resolution that was supposed to help protect our water. Unfortunately, this didn't happen. One of the requirements of 8313 that was submitted to the county at that time, because it was under county jurisdiction, Los Osos was to have a septic tank management district. This never took place. You never forced anyone in the county to address this situation. We now have saltwater intrusion. We now have CDOs, CAOs. We are being put to a test by this water board for something the county should have addressed back in 1983. You want to punish us now because of the lack of your due diligence, not you, because this board was not on board. It was your staff, not this staff, but the previous staff, that did not show due diligence to the county, requiring them to have an on-site wastewater management district, which could just as well precluded all of the action that you are being submitted to now. It would also have precluded any problems with our water. Saltwater intrusion is going to be one of the major problems that the county is going, and the CSD, and you are going to have to address, because otherwise, we are going to turn on our faucets one day, and all we're going to have is briny water. This is your responsibility. Please help us out in Los Osos and do something now. Don't punish us for lack of action in the past.
Thank you for your comments, Mrs. Taylor. Ann Normand?
Do I need to spell my name, or it's okay?
No.
Okay. You know, I think hopefully the message is getting across to the board that Los Osos property owners, almost everyone I've spoken to, I can't think of anyone who's opposed to getting a resolution to this problem with the construction of a sustainable, affordable sewer system. So please don't misperceive people's frustration at enforcement actions with a lack of enthusiasm for moving forward with the sewer system. And in fact, there's been a lot of positive change recently. You know, just going to the TAC committee meetings with the county, there's a lot of good interplay between citizens in Los Osos and TAC committee members, and things are starting to really build a basis for goodwill. And so that's very significant progress in what has been a fractured community. So in that context, I have very grave concerns about your proposal to issue CAOs community-wide, and the timing of this is particularly problematic. For example, if you guys decide to move forward with this, my understanding is that people have to put in legal arguments to potentially appeal this decision within the next 30 days. This is the time when the rough screening is now turning into the fine screening report. There is a county town hall meeting presenting this information to the citizens of Los Osos next Wednesday. There are TAC committee members here today that are taking time away from their efforts to be here today to think about this. So the timing is very problematic. I do not want to see the AB 2701 process in any way undermined. The concern about electioneering is real, and like another speaker said, we could have a very successful 218 vote that then gets challenged, and I don't think you want to see that. So I'm urging you to just sort of slow down your consideration today. Take the time to hear what the county has to say. Take the time to consider other options. Take the time to consider compliance programs. It sounds like through 8313, 13, you've already got the teeth to issue, you know, fines if you want that. People have already been notified with the notification. So the CAOs won't serve that process. And the damage could be very considerable. And the concern about the CAOs and the settlements is very real. Dr. Press hit home very well with the issues of caps of fines, also ambiguity in terms of what is a cessation. You know, what's going to happen if the county gets delayed due to cultural artifacts or an earthquake or, you know, something citizens don't have control over. I think, you know, citizens might even be, you know, you could ask citizens to pay into a fund at what would be an appropriate sewer rate if you're looking for demonstration of interest to fund a sewer. But putting a CAO on people's properties, the property values are going down already. And, you know, you're going to see requests for changes in tax assessments and loss of county revenues, which is going to further complicate the issue.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
I have a question for Ms. Norman.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you brought up those issues. There is some of my concerns, too. And I'm really sorry that someone from the county wasn't here that could address this, the timing issue. And,
yes.
Do you have any idea what would be a better timing?
Well,
I mean, other than not bringing them at all. I mean,
well, first of all, I'd really like you to let the 218 process play out.
Uh-huh.
You know, let the citizens kind of move forward in that way. At least you'll have backed off from this, you know, potentially this electioneering coercion issue. Another point is, you know, the county, I think Bruce Gibson very much wanted to be here today.
Yeah. I'm sure he did.
And so, you know, give yourself some time to have a meeting where the county can come and present to you. You know, as a Los Osos citizen, I'd love to be there at that meeting and hear what's said too, but frankly, it's more important to me that that meeting happens. And so, you know, whenever you can do it, you know, get together with the county, start working in a constructive way, and then also get Assemblyman Blakesley in there too. You know, I mean, he's done a really good thing by creating this process, and
I want to
support it. I
was just wanting to get your idea of what, since you think this is bad timing now,
yeah.
Do you have an idea what would be good timing?
Yeah. So timing would be after you meet with the county,
okay.
Let the 218 play out, and give yours, and also the other thing about timing is give yourselves some time to get some more, I don't know what the word would be, clear milestones about what would trigger fines against citizens versus other agencies. You know, the documents are pretty wide open and they're pretty scary. And, you know, people are going to feel that they need to defend themselves, and it's really going to distract from the process. My father fractured his cheekbone yesterday. I have my cell phone here on vibrate so that I can get a surgeon on board for him. This is dead serious to people. You know, I'm, it's not trivial for me to be here.
Ms. Norman, could I follow up also on what Mr. Shawcross was saying? Could you help me with your thinking about what letting the 218 process play out would be, time-wise?
As I understand it, the county has a schedule, and you'd need to find out more of the updated specifics from them. But it had been scheduled for this fall, you know, late in the fall. Now, they're a little bit behind right now in getting their rough screening report done. But what I would say is, you know, what I'm talking about is let the vote happen, find out the results.
Right, and what I'm asking you is if you were in my position and you were being asked to let it play out, you know, I also have to answer to the accountability of the people of California and to your water quality. What are you saying? 6 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year? I mean, what would you do in my position? Would you say wait for a year? Would you say wait for 6 months? What would you do?
First thing I try to do is try to learn more to understand exactly what's going on and see for yourselves whether what we're saying is really sincere. I think it is about substantive kind of a shift in the dynamic that's going on. People are working with the county. So learn more.
But about the 218
playout. About the 218, I'd say, you know, hold off on issuing further enforcement proceedings until the 218 has had a chance to happen, which would be
What if there's a no vote?
Oh, well, wait a minute. Before the no vote, I mean, I'm asking, what if it doesn't get?
What if it doesn't happen?
It doesn't get presented to the voters.
Oh, well, you know.
I mean,
I
how
think
long
you
do you wait until you conclude that it's not going to be presented to the voters?
I think everyone feels fairly confident that it's going to be presented to the voters. I think to boost your confidence, you'd want to hear what you'd want to hear that presentation from the county.
Yeah.
You know, I can't speak from the county,
okay.
But
all right.
You'd want. I think there's everything's moving forward. There's a little bit behind in their presenting the rough or fines. You know, I don't know the exact detail, but it's moving, and so educate yourselves.
Okay.
Let them have that presentation.
Thank you.
And then my question is, what if the 218 vote fails?
Then you reconsider what to do. So what my impression is that the board is interested in, and maybe higher up in California, is a real willingness for people in Los Osos to step forward and fund a sewer, right? And put your money where your mouth is. And so the 218 in some ways is about that, right? But there are other ways besides issuing CAOs to get there. For example, you know, if it failed requiring people to pay into a certain fund, that would be equivalent to a sewer assessment rather than having a
There'd be no way to do that without
legally.
Some kind of enforcement action.
What about a settlement allowing people to do that?
To do that, we'd have to still present, I believe, some kind of enforcement action that they would be settling through.
Well, I guess...
So,
you know, I don't know all the options that you might have, but I suspect there are other options that would be more cooperative in nature between the citizens of Los Osos, and I think some of that might involve your dialogue with other government agencies.
See, the problem is the board itself cannot enter into dialogue.
You can hear their presentations?
Yeah, that's why we wanted the county to come here.
Yeah.
But we can't do that because of ex-party limitations. So staff can. Mr. Thomas can.
I would say, you know, at a minimum, let the 218 go through.
Right.
And maybe give a timeline for people in Los Osos to then also take a look at this private funding option. And if nothing has happened by the fall and then next spring with this private funding option, that obviously the CSD board is going to have to look at as a backup, then you start thinking about moving forward with CIOs. But right now, it's very distressing, and it's distracting to what is building, momentum to solve a problem that we're all pretty sick of.
Okay, thank you for your comments.
Thank you for your willingness to discuss this with me.
I have a point of clarification.
Yes,
go ahead.
Michelle Cross.
Yeah, I suggested that someone from the county be at our next meeting up north. I didn't mean for that to be the county's presentation to us. I understand that's going to happen in September. I just wanted someone to be there who we could ask some of these same questions about timing, what the county thought about timing, not to move their presentation up to that meeting. So just.
Okay. Lawson Schaller, Mary Fullwood, then Catherine Rossi, and Shauna Sullivan, you've got another card in here. Is that? It's the
same. Agenda 4.
Right, okay.
And you that back into the card.
Right. So this shouldn't be here, should it? This. Okay. All right. Mr. Schaller.
Good afternoon, Chairman, Board, and fellow citizens and staff. Lawson Schaller, Los Osos. I'm going to have to kind of rearrange my talking points. A number of them have already been made. I know Mr. Hodgen asked that that not be reiterated. Some of them I will briefly reiterate. I want to follow up on the previous speaker. I'm very encouraged. Where did Mr. Shallcross go? I was very encouraged that he had questions for the county. I'm very disappointed that we couldn't get more representation here from the county. I really appreciate Ms. Ispiro delivering the letter and attempting to ask questions. On that same note, I was very encouraged by Dr. Press's interest in flexibility in the fines. I have to reiterate the importance. We need more clearly defined progress. It's way too vague and too ambiguous. We all want clean water. I can't say we all want clean water. I want clean water. I want a treatment plant. I have not spoken with another homeowner who does not, and I've talked to a lot of people. I attend all the meetings. I speak at the county. I think that's a very important point to make. I think the perception and the attitude from Sacramento on down that Los Osos is full of sewer obstructionists. I'd like to get the attention of Mr. Jeffries and Thomas, if I could, please. I think the attitude and perception that Los Osos is full of obstructionists is stale, and it is false. And the previous speaker asking the board or the staff to get more engaged and look at that, there has been a real shift. I really appreciate Mr. Hodgkin's comment earlier about getting the county more engaged. I think...
Excuse me. Could someone close the door, please, if that's possible, because there's noise outside that's interfering. Here. There we go. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
So again, I really, in my opinion, I'm a fairly new resident to Los Osos, but I'd, as a distant property owner, I've been following it. I think the perception of Los Osos obstructionists is stale. There's a new attitude there. People want this done. On an individual basis, I would like to reiterate a previous speaker that if the staff could give us some alternative methods, I'd be up for getting one in the ground tomorrow. I think a lot of people would, and we need that. There's some real frustration with what appears to be a perception of a very heavy-handed approach. I think we should be able to get the stakeholders together. I would like to recommend that Mr. Hodgin, Dr. Press, and Mr. Shallcross meet with the county and the staff and a couple other stakeholders in Los Osos, because this can be worked out.
See, and I'll stop the clock for you. We can't do that. The board members cannot.
Okay,
I know,
understood.
It's very frustrating, but council members, supervisors, assembly members can partake in that
okay.
kind of dialogue.
So the county would have to come
to staff
to the next meeting.
Or come to the board meeting, in which we're
okay.
offering that, and then we can get into this dialogue with them.
I'll deliver a message to Mr. Gibson
okay.
about the 7th meeting if we can get some dialogue. That will solve it. These walls that are built with, lack of a better word, grenades being tossed over the wall is very, very counterproductive. The AB 2701 process is working. If I would plead and ask if the staff could just hold off, put this in abeyance, let the 218 play out, I think we'll find positive results. The threat of the electioneering lawsuits really scares me. We get a positive vote, we get a great project, everyone's behind, and then it blows up because of those calls.
Okay.
Thank
time,
you.
Time is up. Thank you for your comments.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Jeffries.
Yeah, I was looking at our schedule and just trying to think that, you know, it's important for us to have some kind of dialogue with the county and find out what their timetable is and what they're planning on doing. Is that I'm suggesting, not that I'd like to have more meetings, but there's a possibility that you could set forth a special meeting just for that purpose instead of waiting clear till September to have us back down in this area again. I think the urgency to find out what the county's doing is extremely important to this board. And to the previous speaker, that's what I was looking for, is some kind of date in here that I could suggest to the board, and possibly somewhere in June.
Mr. Jeffries, I think Mr. Thomas has spoken with Mr. Gibson,
okay.
Supervisor Gibson, and maybe he could share with us when the supervisor thinks
okay.
they're going to have enough information.
Well, I think it's important. And there's a lot of questions
right.
that I have, and I'm sure other board members have, of the county.
Right.
Of what their process and, you know, what their scheduling is going to be.
But Mr. Thomas?
Sure. I met with Supervisor Gibson and Pablo Agren on Monday morning, and we talked about this very thing. And he presented a draft letter at that time that the County Board of Supervisors was going to consider, and the County Board of Supervisors did consider that letter. They adopted it and sent it to the board. It's in your package. So he was talking to me about that letter, and I said, if you do this and you present this letter to the board, the board's going to have a lot of questions about where the county is in their process and what's going on. And I said it's going to be pretty frustrating if no one from the county is at the board meeting to be able to answer these questions. And he said that the timing is terrible, and he was really sorry that he could not be here. And Pablo said the same thing. They're both in Sacramento today, had longstanding commitments that they had to attend to. So I asked him about making a presentation to the board. He said he would be happy to do that, and they were thinking along the same lines. And I asked him when is the soonest they could do it. He said September, because at that time they will be much closer to the 218 vote, and they're actually spending $2 million in preparing for this vote. And they need to put together information that they will present to the voters on the various options that will be available to them, and they're gathering all that information. So if he were to, my understanding from talking to Supervisor Gibson is that if the county were to come to us sooner than that, they would be giving us partial information. If he came in September, they would be giving us the whole picture, and it would be an accurate picture of what would be presented to the voters for the 218 vote.
Dr. Press?
Board member Mr. Jeffries asked for a timing, and according to your own agenda, it says June 6th, San Luis Obispo location to be announced. If you're desirous of having interplay with our county personnel,
Mrs. Taylor, that meeting has already been set for. It's our off-site meeting. It's not really even a board meeting, and we're doing other things at that time. But we're going to work with the county to set something up so that we can hear what the county has to say. Dr. Press.
Well, I just want to support the notion that partial dialogue, or partial information, I should say, full dialogue, partial information, and repeated dialogue would be better than waiting. So I would prefer to see perhaps a short presentation and a Q&A at the July meeting in Watsonville, and then with the understanding that a fuller discussion on the 218 election would be forthcoming in September. And, you know, it's very difficult to try to schedule meetings that are not regularly in there. So we know we have one in early July. Let's just take it. Let's have the supervisors or some senior staff come up with some real tangibles, because we have all these questions, and get some real dialogue going. I don't see it working in June. I really don't. Right. So let's try that.
Mr. Thomas will contact Mr. Gibson's office and see if someone can come to the July meeting and be able to respond to questions. And I'm sure whatever they have that's tangible, they'll share with us, as tangible as it may be at that point in time. So.
Got it.
Okay.
All right.
Mary Fullwood, and then Catherine Rossi, and then Gail McPherson, then David Dugan. Two cards, Mr. Dugan. How did you do that? It's not going to happen. If she's here, she can speak. But okay, you have one card in, Mr. Dugan, and you'll have your 3 minutes. Okay, Mary Fullwood.
My name is Dr. Mary Fullwood. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I will take the afternoon this coming Tuesday and really urge Supervisor Gibson to be at your July 7 meeting. In the Grail legend, Parzival travels in a land that has become horribly damaged, and it is not until he realized with deep compassion to ask the question, how can I help, that health becomes restored to the land. We of Los Osos need you, the Water Board, to ask that question and join with our town and county in the creation of a viable, affordable wastewater project that meets the needs of the people and the environment. Punitive measures are only causing damage to the engaging process underway, where our community has become a collaborative, has come into collaborative relationship with the TAC and BOS. Please stop engaging in punitive measures, because they could very well be the actions that cause delay to the building of a sewer. We need you to join collaboratively and work with us, the town and county, asking, how can I help? I know Paavo Ogren has offered to give you a presentation of the work TAC has created thus far, and I urge you to welcome his invitation and come into relationship with the county's process. For instance, in Ogren's April 24, 2007 BOS presentation, the timeline for the completion of the wastewater project is charted for 2012, and therefore the town is unable to meet the CDO demand to hook up to the sewer January 11. Now, earlier this during our break, one gentleman clarified that if a project is proceeding forward, the January 2011 date doesn't apply. Then the question becomes, then why have this date, since it is discongruous with the 1 year 2012 of the county's process, other than that this January 2011 date scares 4,400 families rather than working collaboratively with us to see a project move with expediency rather than fear. We as a people are completely dependent on our leaders for this project's completion, and it is inhumane to treat us as you have been. Please find your way to the question, how can I help? Additionally, stated earlier, we were subject to $5,000 a day penalties since 1988, and also stated discharging illegally since 1988. This was not disclosed, nor that my property was in a prohibition zone when I bought my house in 1993. If it had been, I would have not moved to Los Osos. Furthermore, this is such a serious issue that it should not in any way have been left to realtors to disclose. This is a grave and serious enough issue that you, the Water Board, violated disclosure. Also, if the county stopped work, as was described, what happens if Chumash archaeological sites are uncovered? Does that mean we'll all of a sudden be penalized with the punitive measures of CDOs or CAOs?
Time's up. Can you wrap it up very quickly?
Thank you. A wrap-up? Okay. Also, the county, Packard had said that the punitive actions would reinforce the county's process, but the county specifically said 5-0, it would undermine their process. So please listen to the county. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Catherine Rossi and Gail McPherson.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Catherine Rossi, and I live in Los Osos in the Prohibition Zone, as well as my husband and I have two other properties. We have great interest in seeing the wastewater project go forward. We want to be part of the solution. We don't want to be part of the problem. And I think that you've heard that over and over and over today, that the vast majority of people that have stood up here have said, we want to help. We want to be a part. We want to bring it forward. We share the same goals with you. We are cooperative. We support the county's letter to you and find that that we also have noticed in our community that it seems to be counterproductive and a distraction of bringing these actions against the various homeowners. Now, you guys deal with this stuff all day long, especially you, the prosecution team, so it's really easy for you to understand the law and this and that. But when you're a citizen and somebody's saying these kinds of things to you, something happens in your brain. And what happens in your brain is you get really fearful. That I actually had to bring out my paper and pencil to multiply 5,000 times 30. That's 15. It's $150,000. That's what that would be if the maximum fine was 5,000, which is unlikely. I've been paying attention this whole time, but if it were the case, then the nut to crack would be $150,000 in 1 month. Now, the idea of $30 a day, should we ever go to fines? And I don't think anybody really wants to go there. We all just want to have the project. But even at $900 a month maximum that's proposed, that's a nut to crack. Multiply that times three with our three properties, and I don't want to lose my renters. So I would be in for $2,700 a month in fines should that occur. And that's just the one fine. So the white elephant in this room is called fear. You've heard it over and over and over again. And my reason for just holding off further CDOs than the other one, you know, the other acronym, has to do with the fact that we've got a good momentum going on. I'd like to see it continue. I think that the vast majority of people are cooperating here in this room and in the community and with the county, and it's really pretty darn exciting, and that's what I would like to see go forward. As a psychologist, I want to share with you something that's really important of what happens with fear. We need the top 10% of our brains as we're going through this process. When people are afraid, they go right into the flight or fright response. They, you know, they flee or they fight. There's my time. But I would like to suggest that let us be with the higher level of consciousness. Let us give us the opportunity of really working together on this project and bringing it to fruition in the best possible way.
Thank you for your comments. Gail McPherson, followed by Mr. Dugan, and then Joey Ricano, and then Judy Vick.
Gail McPherson, and I really think that last message was right on, and all the messages. You've had some very high quality remarks today, and I really just am so proud of our community. Even the people I disagree with, I think that we had a recall, and that was to move a sewer, not to stop a sewer. We had a Blakeslee intervention, which failed because of this board. It was a compromise to move the sewer and continue working on a collection system. And I hate to see that this board would stop us again with a Blakeslee AB 2701. That disputed loan and debt has a lot to do with this. And I think if you look deeply between the lines, you will see that that's what the vote's about, that's what the assessment's about, and that's what all the fear is about. And most of that fear is coming out of Sacramento. Okay, now on to the ACL and all the acronyms. Unfortunately, CDOs do a lot. We know that they often don't result in fines, but more times than often, that threat's enough to make people move on. The CSD got an ACL. You guys, many of you sat on that. And there's actual homeowners that are facing $30,000 in fines on each house right now. That was your ACL fine. It was only on three CDOs. Each one of those houses are, well, the CSD is appealing that, but that's still accruing, so it's even going up now as we speak. That's what CDOs can do. I challenge the idea that this is a milder cleanup and abatement order. It is not milder. A cleanup and abatement order has some important things that I'm going to read to you. Let's see. I wish I could pass this out. Cease and desist orders are normally issued to dischargers regulated by WDRs and often remain in force for years. They're typically used to regulate dischargers, and they are rarely amenable to short-term solutions. And it goes on to talk about why they're important to use when you need a sewer plant and why they're issued to agencies, not individuals. On the other hand, cleanup and abatement orders are issued by the executive order under 13223. They should be used when speed is important, when such a major spill or upset has occurred, and waiting until the regional board can meet and approve a CAO would be inappropriate. The staff should keep an accurate record of staff oversight costs, since dischargers are liable for such expenses. And if staff costs are not recovered voluntarily or through civil court actions, the amount of the cost constitutes a lien on the affected property and foreclosure may be used. Foreclosure. Violations should trigger further enforcement in the form of an ACL, referred to the Attorney General for monetary remedies. This is from your own policies. I suggest you take some time, look over what a cleanup and abatement order is really for. This is not appropriate. A CDO is appropriate. Perhaps the county should get that if they choose not to take the project. Not only is the 218 vote a trigger, but then the Board of Supervisors has to decide if that's what they want to do. And if they choose against us, how can an individual be responsible for what they cannot control? They cannot build a sewer alone. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. McPherson. Mr. Dugan?
Well, while I'm speaking, I would like to have them call up the definition of the in the division which they've been citing their codes on. I believe it's in the 13300. Because I believe the definition, my name's Dave Dugan Los Osos, I see my time is running. The definition of person is a city, a county, a corporation, and all that. Never once does it ever mention individual. look at it.
It includes all of those entities.
But then now, when you go down to the... Is my time still running while you're talking to me?
Yes.
That's very unfair and unreasonable.
It's still running, but go ahead.
As well as, if you look at the codes, when it talks towards what causes are permitted to cause or may be permitted to cause a discharge, who permits these septic tanks? The county. The county permitted these. They caused this situation. They should be under scrutiny here, not the individuals. I have CDOs that were issued in 2004. I asked this prosecution team, were there ever any individual CDOs issued in Los Osos? And they said, no, none. There was none. Four city members on this board were part of this action, and they said nothing. You withheld information that would have helped the defense. This is going to be overturned in court. This is a waste and abuse of the citizens' money. You didn't say anything. But you knew very well in 2004 there were CDOs issued. Oh, you don't remember? Deniability, I guess. They didn't remember? Well, I guess just like Matt Thompson didn't remember, he said he would have to vacate the premises. They didn't remember that five CDOs were issued in Los Osos, with the only requirement was to have a septic system maintenance program and to hook up to a sewer when it was available within 30 days. No other penalties, no threats. That is firm and consistent. Five CDOs, I believe all the rest of the CDO people should get that option as well. I believe this is going to be overturned in court. Thank you. And I'll let you have the few seconds left.
You have 30 seconds left. Okay. Mr. Ricano.
Honorable board members, staff, friends, and friends at home, I'm Joey Ricano with the Ocean Outfall Group. I'd like to, if I could, I have one of these for each of you. It's a little mini map of the estuary. Do I give it to, who do I give it to?
You can give it to Ms. Hewitt, but you've got 2 minutes, 45 seconds, and your time is running.
Not a problem. I did, first of all, I wanted to thank Mr. Sato for his very excellent presentation at the Ocean Protection Council in Monterey. I was there to enjoy that, and it was very informative. Despite some fireworks today in the room, I do believe that there is a wind of cooperation blowing through the Central Coast now, and I like a lot of what I heard today, both from the board and from the public. I'm very optimistic about the process as it now stands. One of the things that I think is coming into clear focus now is that there are statewide objectives, and the new MLPA process, which I consider a huge success, is one of them. And the reason that I personally think that you should stand down on enforcement at this time, because it would be counterproductive, would be because, in my opinion, the people of Los Osos may get frightened into a bad project, such as building at the Tri-W site. And the reason I say this is because the Tri-W site would be proposed to be built in Ravina, which is a ravine. It's the lowest point. And so that's where sewage would flow. And so what I'm trying to say is that during the storm event, and I will conclude, during the storm event, what you might have is you might have sewage running into the new State Marine Reserve. As you can see the map that I've provided, and I've provided one to each of you, you see that the State Marine Reserve, which is the highest level of protection afforded to an area under the MLPA process, you aren't allowed to disturb biological processes, nor would we want to, actually. And you know that I'm a proponent of a regional full tertiary plan that would include all 11 discharges in the Estero Bay Hydrologic Unit. And I thank you for this opportunity to address you, and I urge everyone to cooperate. Let's get this behind us. I think that we all want to work together, and I think that that's starting to become readily apparent. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments. Judy Vick, followed by Karen Venditti, and then Pat Renshaw.
Good afternoon, board and staff. Judy Vick, Los Osos. I'm here today to encourage you to honor our County Board of Supervisors' unanimous request to stop enforcement actions. It is not easy to get a unanimous vote at the County Board of Supervisors. We ask you to honor their request, both in the spirit of AB 2701 and in support of the county's process to expedite a wastewater project for our town. The community is prepared to hook up to a treatment facility as soon as an affordable solution exists to protect our water and our environment. We're beginning to find common ground through the county process, and we do now have hope of healing as a community. We're in the support of the county process as evidenced by our participation. However, the primary concern I hear in the community is that this board, through these enforcement actions, is attempting to influence the 218 vote. And I believe this impression came from the letter sent out by Harvey Packard on March 21, 2007. I will quote it directly. If the county's wastewater project does not proceed and fails to meet certain milestones, including approval of a benefits assessment, then you would have to eliminate your septic system discharge by January 1, 2011. Now, you argue that you're not ordering us out of our homes, but as you've heard, speaker after speaker, we're intelligent people, and we understand that if we have the weight of these fines and we're unable to use our restrooms, no one's going to be able to occupy and live successfully in their homes. So how else would we interpret this statement? Unless the 218 passes, we'll be unable to live in our homes that were bought with septic systems legally permitted by this county. The property owners of Los Osos are being held solely accountable for lack of needed infrastructure. This is absolutely unjust. Los Osos was allowed to develop without a sewer system. The county had the responsibility and authority to provide needed infrastructure for 20 years prior to the formation of a CSD. Since before the 70s, standard government code practices required a minimum one-acre parcel for development using septic tanks. The practice of this county and this water board, allowing exceptions of up to 8 houses per acre, significantly contributed to the problems we're all facing today. It has been a very long and painful experience for our community to try to resolve the need for neglected infrastructure. Some of us have been around for a very long time. Others, I bought my home in 1998. When we say community, not all of us have been here through this whole history. There are folks we all in good faith have come into this community, bought homes, we're good neighbors, we're responsible people. And I would venture to guess that any community that had been allowed to develop in this manner would be struggling with trying to provide this type of infrastructure. We need you to work with us at this crucial time. And I know that one speaker was asked at length about what's the magic date, what's the magic time that you would be in place to start these enforcement actions. I don't know that you have to have that magic date, the magic number. I think first you need to come and see what we're doing in this town. It's been amazing to see people coming together and working together who have been so concerned and on different sides of the fence. So I agree with the previous speaker who said, come out and see what's going on, or allow time to meet with our county supervisor, allow time to understand what is happening with the process before you decide that these would be appropriate for our town.
Thank you for your comments.
Your assurance of a 218 fair process is essential to a favorable tax assessment vote, and my fear is that if you go forward with these enforcement actions, we will be delayed again due to people feeling it was unfair process.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. All right. Karen Venditti.
Good afternoon. Chairman Young and board members, thank you very much for this opportunity. My name is Karen Venditti, V as in Victor, E-N-D-I-T-T-I. I own a home and live in the Prohibition Zone of Los Osos, and I've been very involved not only with the community and its many efforts, but more especially with my own neighbors. I have a feeling that I'm well in touch with the pulse of Los Osos, and I know from my own heart and from the hearts of all of my friends and neighbors and all of those that I speak with, that we truly want to get a sewer system built. So I hope that you will bear that in mind when you deliberate. I also have been fortunate or privileged to be appointed to serve on the Technical Advisory Committee for the county that is working on the sewer system for Los Osos, in particular the LOWWP. I'd be happy to share with you a little bit of my understanding of the timelines. As you know, we are expecting the fine screen report, which will identify those alternatives that are most likely to be successful, both from an efficacy standpoint, funding, permittable, as well as community support. We're expecting probably 5 or 6. I don't know how many will actually turn up. That should be out in 2 weeks. The public has 30 days from that point in which to comment, and that's why timing has been so critical. The same 30 days that they may have to appeal a CAO is going to fall at the same time that they have an opportunity to review in depth and comment on the fine screen report and those project alternatives. After that point, the Technical Advisory Committee has an additional 2 weeks to submit their pros and cons. And then the county has is planning to take that report, take it to the Board of Supervisors, and the Board of Supervisors at that point, probably in August, will determine the Prop 218 schedule, which again is expected later this year in the fall, October, November. We are hoping, if everything is on schedule, that we will have the results of the Prop 218 vote in the middle of December. It takes them a couple of weeks to do that. Now, the original AB 2701 provided that the advisory vote, which is where the residents of the community take a look at the alternatives and express their preference for which alternative they believe will work best. That advisory vote originally was supposed to happen after Prop 218. That may or may not come after. It may be concurrent. I don't know how that's going to roll out. So that's up in the air. But I did want to mention the timing in particular and why this timing is so difficult and why the County Board of Supervisors formed that letter and sent it out unanimously for you to consider changing or holding off on your enforcement actions.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
I have a question for you,
yes,
Ms.
Dr. Mandy. Press.
May I?
Yes.
Of course.
So I'm just counting the fine screen report, 5 or 6 options. Due in 2 weeks, that's around the 24th or so, 30-day public comment, then 2 weeks. Yeah, do you think it's possible to get the pros and cons back by our July 6th meeting with a little bit of pushing?
Wow. to be honest with you, Pavel Ogren has said that he hopes the fine screen will only be 1 week later than we expected. We had hoped to have it by Monday, the 14th. So that would make it the 21st. But it's possible for it to take a little bit longer. They're doing some recalculations on inflow and infiltration. So it depends on when that fine screen comes out. It's cutting it really close.
But the fine screen report would be out. What I'm asking is whether it sounds like the fine screen report would be out and the 30-day public comment would have closed.
Yes, that is correct.
What's not likely, you're saying, is that the pros and cons would have been completed.
That's
the response to the public comment. Am I right?
Not entirely. The pros and cons actually are formulated by the three working groups of the TAC. We have a finance group, an environmental group, and an engineering water resources group. So each of those working groups develops their own pros and cons, and so the groups have to kind of agree within themselves what they feel those pros and cons are for each alternative as well as for each component of the alternatives. And then they have to come together as the entire TAC and reach some sort of agreement there. So that's the part that you'll be missing for the July 7 meeting, probably.
Is the TAC or the board or both going to are they planning on summarizing the public comment, the set of public comments that they get at the close of the public comment period?
That's a very good question, and I'm going to put my neck out in the line and will personally commit to that, yes.
Because that would be a useful thing. In the
yes.
absence of the pros and cons from the TAC,
mm-hmm.
that would be a useful
no.
thing to have on July 6th.
Absolutely.
So there'd be not just the fine screen report, but a summary of public comment as well.
Correct.
So there'd be a couple couple stages. Anyway, just
I will support that 100%.
Thank you.